going to get my next guest to describe what she's wearing as a bit of a kick-off to this conversation. Away, this is a Karen Milburn, by the way. She's a slow clothing pioneer. Tell everyone what you're wearing, Karen.
Thanks. Oh, it's actually Jane. Jane
Milburn, I beg your pardon.
But, yeah, I make a lot of my clothes. What tends to happen is I find them in op shops. So I'm wearing all wool. It's merino. A friend of mine makes merino clothes, and she's given me the offcuts, which I dyed in bark and then stitched together. And I've got a bit of a cape effect happening. I've made some trousers by piecing that together. And the brown in between is something I found in the op shop. It's wool.
It looks fabulous.
Oh, thank you, Wendy.
No, it's really, but obviously I'm not going to see this anywhere else in any shop.
That is, I think, one of the special things about being having a few skills to be able to make for yourself. I think we're really looking for something that's a bit different, original, unique, and we can make it to work with our shape as well and our own tastes and desires.
Well, what we're talking about here is a thing called slow clothing, and you're a pioneer and an advocate of that. And it is something that is really becoming very, very popular, because we look at the cost of textiles being chucked down the tip. They're extraordinarily expensive to produce textiles. People don't often realise that.
Yes, there's been a transformational shift in many ways in the last 10 or 20 years, because we've got the whole industrial chain working. The way we did with, if we think of the analogy with food, we've got processed fast food, and sure, it's there and you can buy it, but is it really good for you? And that's what's happened. We've got all these convenience clothes, and, you know, the really quality end of the market is what we need to be focusing on, and having less but valuing it more, instead of, you know, just churning through. And, you know, the $2 T-shirt is really on the back of somebody else's blood, sweat and tears. You know, Rana Plaza showed us that.
Who did?
Oh, the factory collapse in 2013.
Oh, yes,
where
of course.
1,122. That was a real turning point in terms of opening people's eyes to where the cheap thing was coming from. And some of it's made of quality fibres, but some of it is synthetics. Now, two-thirds of new clothing is made from synthetic fibres, which are derived from petroleum.
That's
and
right.
Research has shown that they're shedding microplastic particles into the wastewater stream with every wash. So,
and they cost more than, I was reading somewhere, than a kilo of textiles, because it probably uses more energy and costs more than a kilo of glass.
Yes, yes. And glass, most glass is recycled, yet we're still only at the embryonic stage of recycling textiles. And I know from Australia that I've found 70 million kilograms of our cast-off clothing every year is exported into the global second-hand trade. So this is a huge volume. Think about that, Wendy. 70 million kilograms, that's more than 3 kilos per person every year that we're just, it's just our rejects. It's not even our donations that are sorted into shops here.
It's a really weird though too, isn't it, to get young people? I think when you have pictures of Princess Kate with saying, oh, she's wearing the same dress again, shock horror.
It's actually really great to see her doing that.
It is.
Prince Charles and Princess Anne, they're often you know, now influencing culture by saying it's actually okay to wear again. In fact, it shows great sustainable values. And if they're quality things that fit you well, garments you like to wear, well, why not wear it again? It's only the marketers that want you to be continually changing and carrying on.
You had a weekend shop at Coringa. Did you get there?
Oh, well, it's fabulous that a council like that, they've got an amazing sustainability program. So we met with people who had come along, and they brought some of their clothing that they weren't wearing, and we turned it into other things. Particularly, we were working with cotton T-shirts, which is sort of entry level. But I had a display of garments that I've refashioned to suit myself, and it actually just sparks thinking and gets people on a different pathway of reusing what's already in their wardrobe, or what they can find in op shops, or what their friend is swapping with them. You know, this is what we need to do to live sustainably, is to value the quality textiles and also a few skills of mending and changing. Often little changes to garments can make a huge difference in how they work for you, because how can an industrial system produce clothes that suit everyone? It can't really, but that's where we're at, and we've got a whole generation of young people that have grown up with this cheap clothing thing where you just go and buy and throw it out, disposable, and move on to the next one. And, you know, we've got to do something to change that. So it was great to see Ku'ringai Council, and I work with other councils around Australia to, you know, just provide a different voice on ways of working with clothing.
And you founded a business called Textile Beat. What's that about?
Well, that really is, my background is in agricultural science. I don't have a background in fashion. I've only got a personal interest in it. So I've just, almost all of my life, I've been making clothes. And so when I went to a Fashion for Flood fundraiser in 2011, where it was secondhand clothes, and I bought a few interesting things, like Kerri-Ann Kennelly's leather jacket, for paid $70 for that. But at the end of the evening, everything was $2. And I bought 30 shirts for $60. And I just thought, I never need to buy anything new again at this rate. And I rediscovered op shops, you see. Mm-hmm. And then I started changing things, because sometimes you feel a bit out of date with something. And I realised that this is my purposeful work, really. My children had grown up, and I needed to step up and speak about this. I'd done a leadership program, and this is where I feel as if I make a contribution.
Well, you made me, I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm talking to you, but my mind's thinking about a wardrobe full of stuff, thinking, I could probably repurpose that jacket if I could put it.
Actually just getting out. First of all, I've got this Slow Clothing Manifesto, which is sort of 10 ways to reduce our clothing footprint. And one of those is actually just looking at what's in your wardrobe and reusing that, and thinking again about reviving and adapting what already is in your wardrobe.
Okay. Is your manifesto very long? Have we got time for
it? It's 10 points. Well, you can just read it out. It'll be interesting to see whether you can absorb that.
All right. Think, make thoughtful, ethical, informed choices. Natural, treasure fibres from nature. Quality, buy well once. Quality remains after price is forgotten. Local, we know what that is. Support local makers. Care, mend, patch, sort, sponge, wash less, use cold water, line dry. Couldn't agree with you more about that. Few, live with less, have one best style, make, embrace home sewing as a life skill, and adapt, you refashion, you eco dye, create old from new, you revive, enjoy vintage, exchange, op shop, and the last one here, salvage, donate, pass on, rag, weave, recycle or compost. That is your Slow Clothing Manifesto. All good.
Thank you, Wendy. It's just a way for individual to change and take small steps rather than being overwhelmed by the big picture.
All right. Well, thank you. It's lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much for being my guest this morning, Jane. Jane Milburn, a slow clothing pioneer who's wearing, well, she's hand-dyed by bark. And she looks fabulous, actually. We might get a photo of you or post it on Facebook of your outfit, because it really is quite spectacular,
I must
say.
Thank you, Wendy. I'm on it.
Okay, thanks a lot. You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us.